Good morning, church. Good to see everyone here. We're continuing our talk about Saul today. I told you I want to spend the next few weeks in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul said those things were written for our examples, and there's still a lot of pertinent information for the church. I read a book on church history written by Paul Mahler, and for the first about 30 years, the church didn't have a New Testament, so they studied the Old Testament period. And I've seen churches get too far the other way and try to become lawyers by preaching the Old Testament. But there's a lot of good information. We can learn who God is, who we are in respect to Him, what He expects of us. And we started last week talking about Saul, and if you remember, I told you when Samuel first told him God's picked you to be the king, Saul didn't want the job. He didn't feel like he was qualified. When he went to announce Samuel was going to be the king, Samuel had hid, you know, and God told Samuel he's hiding in the luggage, and they had to go get him. And, you know, he started out with the right attitude. He inquired of God, what do you want me to do? And it said everywhere he went, he was successful. But today, we're going to look at the flip side, what happened to King Saul. And to me, this is a tragic story. I'm not up here to run King Saul down. I'm not here to judge King Saul. I got enough to take care of Rick, so I don't need to be judging other people. I don't know the man's heart, only God does. That's what the Lord meant when he said, judge not that you be not judged. I've talked to some Christians about sin, you know, and they go, well, judge not that you be not judged. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Church, we have a right to call sin, sin. But Jesus was saying, don't judge other people's hearts. You're not qualified. God's the only one qualified to judge our hearts. So this morning, as I said, we're going to talk about what happened to Saul. We'll be in 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 11. And Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came out of Egypt. Now go and strike the Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray as we study this today, Lord, that as always, I'm asking that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive this, to take the warnings from it that we need for our own lives, Father. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as I said, Saul started out as a humble and obedient king. right after he defeated the Ammonites, it said the Philistines mustered their armies and came against him. And if you remember, I told you at this time they were under Philistine oppression. They were the main army that was oppressing them. They had set garrisons up all over the area. Garrison is a number of troops that watch over certain areas and enforce their laws. And they also had other kingdoms coming against them. This was because they had sinned and forsaken God's law. He raised up Samuel, their last judge. And at this time they said, we don't want judges, we want king. So God chose Saul. I told you last week, God chose Saul. The Bible says God changed Saul's heart and God anointed Saul to be king. And Saul started out well. He started out listening to the prophet. He started out inquiring of God. He started out very obedient. But in today's text, we find that Saul was beginning to do what he thought was the best. Now, earlier, this isn't in the text, before this, the Philistines were gathering, and Samuel had told Saul, in 7 days, I'm going to come and offer the burnt offering and pray God's blessing on the army. And it said all the army was gathered, and Samuel was a little late. So Saul said, give me the offering. And just as soon as he finished offering it, Samuel showed up. And Samuel said, you done a very foolish thing. You see, in the law of Moses, God only allowed the priest to make the burnt offerings. Not even the king was allowed to do that. And Saul said, well, everybody was starting to leave, and I figured you weren't coming or you were late. So he said, I forced myself to make the sacrifice. And Samuel said, well, if you would have obeyed God, he would have established your kingdom. But he said, now he's going to take it away from you and give it to somebody better than you. You know, none of us like to hear something like that. Well, Jonathan, Saul's son, had an armor bearer, and it said the Israelites hid in caves. You know, this devastating news. And Saul later inquired of the Lord and said the Lord wouldn't talk to him, wouldn't answer him. I think he was asking the wrong questions is why God wouldn't listen. Saul should have been saying, what do I need to do? How can I repent? Instead, he determined he was going to go ahead and fight, and he said, are you going to go with me? And it said the Lord didn't say anything. So Saul and his little army hid in these caves, and his son went out with his armor bearer and said, let's go look at the Philistines. And they were on one mountain hill, and the Philistines were on another. And Jonathan, Saul's son, was a little more godly than Saul was. He said, you know, if the Lord's in it, it doesn't matter if we have a lot of guys or a little. God will deliver them into our hands. And the armor bearer said, okay, I'm with you. And they get up there, and Jonathan said, listen, if they tell us to wait and they're going to come to us, we'll stand still. But he said, if they say, come here, we want to show you something, he said, then we'll know God's delivered him into our hands. And it said, the Philistines said, come up here, we want to show you something. And boy, Jonathan pulled his sword and yelled, charge, and off the hill he went, climb up the hill where they was, killed 20 of them. Within an acre length of land, said he killed 20 men. The Philistines, this isn't biblical, but they freaked out and they turned around and ran, and the army freaked out. The Bible says they became very confused. The ground started shaking and they started killing one another. And Saul and his bunch, from where they're banned, they saw it happening. Well, then guess what the king did? Charge! And they rushed in. And when the battle was over, it said Saul blew the trumpet and said, let all Israel hear that I defeated the Philistines. So you can see Saul's attitude changing. He went from saying, what do I need to do, God, to saying, this is what I'm going to do. And Samuel had rebuked him. But Samuel came to Saul and said, now the Lord's anointed you to be prince, and it's time to pay the Amalekites back. In Deuteronomy 27, we find out that Amalek, who was a grandson of Esau, and we know the animosity between Esau and Jacob, his offspring, When Israel was going through the desert, when they came out of Egypt, they came up behind them and started attacking them and killing the people that were lagging behind. And Moses said, Joshua, get an army together. We're going to have to fight these people. So it said that Joshua got an army together. And this is the story, if you're familiar with, Moses went and set up on a hill where he could watch the battle. And it said as long as Moses stood there with his hands held up and the rod, they defeated him. But when he got tired and his hands started lowering, the Amalekites were defeating the Israelites. So Aaron and Hur put a stone up, let Moses sit down, and they held his hands up. And it said Joshua and Israel defeated them. They slaughtered them till sundown. And later in Deuteronomy, when Moses is getting ready to die, he's handing over the mantle to Joshua. The Lord said in Deuteronomy, you remember what he did. And he said, when I get you settled in Canaan, I want you to blot out his memory from under heaven. Now that's called devoted to destruction. And whenever God devoted a nation or a person to destruction, everything they had was to be destroyed. If it was a nation or an army, the Jews were not allowed to keep any of the spoil. God said, that's mine, that's holy. You will kill every man, woman, and child. You will pile up their gold, their silver, everything they got, and you will burn it. He said, that becomes holy to me. So Saul could not claim ignorance. God had told them all the way back in Deuteronomy, one day I'm going to wipe Amalek out for what he did. Now Saul's the king. He's already been rebuked. He's already been told by Samuel, God's going to take the kingdom away from you. But then Samuel comes up and says, now you are the anointed prince, and it's time. God is saying it's time. I'm going to judge the Amalekites. Saul knew what he was supposed to do. We just read it. He went in there. He killed them, but it said he saved the best. He destroyed the most worthless of the animals, but he kept the best. He saved the king Agag and brought him back. Now, if you've ever read the law, if you've ever studied the Old Testament very much, you know right off God would not be happy with that. God said, destroy him, destroy him. And I know I've had people over the years say, well, your God is vindictive and spiteful and mean, you know. What'd they ever do to him? Well, I always invite people to read it. There was a history there between Amalek and Israel. It was a family thing. They were mad because they thought Jacob cheated Esau and they're going to get some back. We used to have them around here, feuds. It was a feud. And God did not initiate the Amalekites attacking his people. In fact, Deuteronomy, God said, Amalek didn't fear me. When they were going through the wilderness, God told Israel, now you're going to go through Edom's land. And he said, don't try to take one inch of it. I gave that to Esau. That's his. Don't try to take it. He said, you pay them for the food you eat and the water you drink. But Esau understood he wasn't supposed to attack them. It doesn't do any good to tell people that. I mean, when they get their mindset that God's mean and ornery, just let them think it. But it's there. It's in the Word. If you'll sit down and honestly read it, you'll see why God did these things. It was his judgment. And Saul was given the mission to carry it out. Well, when he's coming back, the Lord has told Samuel, Saul didn't do what I said. So Samuel goes to meet Saul. He finds out Saul's out setting a monument up to Saul. When he got done with the battle, he set up a monument, erected a monument to himself. That starts telling you where Saul's head is now. I defeated these people. I defeated the Philistines. Me. I asked God, and God didn't say anything, but he didn't have to. I won. Now the Amalekites, he told Samuel, go tell Saul to do this. Saul and his army are coming back, and it said, Saul, Saul, saw Samuel. That's hard for me to say. Saul saw Samuel. And he said, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the Lord's commandment. And if you remember, Samuel said, then why do I hear sheep bleating and oxen lowing? Saul said, well, we decided to keep the best to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. He tried to justify, hey, I'm not keeping it. We're offering this as burnt offering to the Lord. Well, what was he supposed to do? That was supposed to be burnt to the Lord in the city of Amalek, not in Saul's kingdom. And when Samuel further pressed him, Saul said, well, I was afraid of the people. You know, they wanted to keep it, and I was afraid of them. So, yeah, I sinned. I disobeyed God. But it was the people's fault because they wanted to keep these animals. Well, are you the king or not? Sometimes in leadership, you have to make unpopular decisions, and you have to live with that and bear the brunt of it. Whether people like what you do or not, make decisions you make. That's part of being a leader, church. And if you can't do that, you have no business being a leader, not in the church or anywhere else. You have to be willing to make decisions that your people might disagree with, and you have to bear the brunt of it. You have to be able to take the flak. Saul didn't. He said, well, it was actually their idea. What a change. How did this man go from being anointed, from being changed, from being chosen, to doing his thing? Now, at one point it said the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. Church, that's a bad place to be. Paul warns the church today, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And I've heard the theology over the last 25 years. Well, that was then, this is now. God can't pull his spirit away. David prayed in Psalm 51, Lord, do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, but brother, that was that dispensation. This is now. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. Then you're telling me there's things God can't do? God doesn't change. If God decides to pull his spirit, the fellowship of his spirit, he will pull it. God doesn't care what dispensation we're in. He's not bound in our timeline. Amen. Saul had grieved God, and God said, now, what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit being upon Saul? It wasn't that Saul didn't need Samuel, but you remember the battle with the Ammonites. It said the Spirit of God rushed on Saul, and he knew exactly what to do. But it said God's spirit left him. He turned around and goes, Samuel. And Samuel said, don't ask me. God's not talking to you, dude. So Saul said, well, I got this figured out. I've been king long enough. I've been in a couple battles. I think I'm becoming a pretty good strategist. I think I know what we need to do. He blew it, church. He knew what he was supposed to do. No excuse. And he told Samuel, hey, I did what I wanted. I did what God told me to do. And Samuel said, no, you didn't, because I can hear the sheep and the oxen, and you know they wasn't supposed to come home with you. And Saul said, well, we were going to offer them as burnt offering. He made it religious. Hey, wait a minute. We weren't keeping them. We were going to offer them as burnt offerings at the temple. And Samuel said, that's not what God told you to do. What he said, I think a lot of you could quote from memory. Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen to God's better than the fat of rams and of bulls. And he said, Saul, now God has torn your kingdom away. He's already picked another prince. He's tore your kingdom away. You're done. And it said, Samuel turned around to walk away, and Saul caught him by the robe to jerk him back. And he tore his skirt, his robe. I'd rather say robe. I hate to think of men wearing skirts, but I mean, that's what the Bible said, tore his skirt. And he's standing over that piece of cloth in his hand. And Samuel said, that's what's happening to your kingdom. You're done. Now, this is my opinion. Could Saul have repented? Could he have confessed to God, I sinned? Doesn't mean God was going to let him stay king, but to me, that's what he should have done. I did sin, Lord. I am so sorry. But he didn't. When you read about a little further on, God sends Samuel to anoint David to be king without Saul knowing about it, because Samuel said, if Samuel knows where I'm going, he'll kill me. And God said, yeah, but tell him you're going to offer this sacrifice. And he said, I'm going to show you a man that I want you to anoint. He's a guy that's after my own heart. And after Samuel anoints David, David kills Goliath. And he's working for Saul. He plays the lyre. It said God took his spirit and he sent an evil spirit, an agitating spirit against Saul. So David would play the lyre and sing, and the spirit would leave. So Saul said, I want to keep this guy. Makes sense. And after he killed Goliath, the Bible said Saul began to eye him suspiciously. Especially the women came out singing David had killed the Goliath. And they sang, Saul's killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And that made Saul mad. He said, they only ascribed 1,000 to me and David 10,000s. You see the attitude change? How dare they? How dare they do something like that? That's just a punk kid. He just got lucky. You know, big deal. He killed one Philistine and they sung about 10,000 Philistines. He only killed one. You know how many I've killed? Didn't you hear what I did the other day in that battle? Well, we heard Jonathan did that. No, that's a lie. That was me. I did that, you know. Look at the attitude change of this man. He became arrogant and presumptuous. Samuel told him that presumption was as the sin of idolatry. What's idolatry? When you worship other gods. You know, the Bible says what happened to man. I don't believe in the sin nature. I like to throw this in when I can. Paul in Romans 1 told us exactly what happened to man. They began to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Do you understand we're creatures? That they made these idol statues looking like birds and men and snakes and everything, but it also they began to worship self. I'm a god. And I talked to you a few Sundays ago about some of these yahoos that are preaching this on TV. Well, you're made in the image of God. You're gods. We're little gods, little g's. I'm not a god. You're not a god. I don't see one god sitting here. There's only one god, the invisible god. I've never seen him, but he's there. And Saul began to presume that he knew what he needed to do. He feared David. Saul wanted Jonathan to be the king. In fact, in a little while, he put a hit out. What's a hit? That's a contract. Saul told his bodyguards and Jonathan, you kill David, first chance you get. How did Saul think that he was going to thwart God's plan? And I'm not judging him. I just, when I read this, I think, how in the world did you think you were going to stop God? God already told you, you're done. Samuel figured out David was the one. And it's like Samuel thought, well, if I kill this guy, then Jonathan will have to be the king because God won't have anybody else left to be king. What? And he spent the rest of his life pursuing David. And David had a chance to kill Saul twice. His men told him, kill him. He said, he's been anointed by God. I'm not touching him. Now that's integrity. David said, God set him up, God will take him down. Well, there's a lesson in that for us today. So Saul spends the rest of his life deciding he's going to kill David. And I said, you know, for me, this is a very sad and tragic story. Saul had inquired of the Lord, what do you want me to do? And it said the Lord wouldn't speak to him. So he went to a witch, a medium. I have talked to Christians, especially younger ones, not so much recently, but back when it was real popular. Well, Brother Rick, I call psychic hotline just for a hoot. Why do you want to do that? Well, I think it's just neat to see what they'll say. I said, you know, the Lord told his people not to consort with mediums, necromancers, psychics. whatever you want to call them. God said, don't have anything to, don't use astrology. Well, I think it's just funny. Well, you're breaking God's law. God told his people not to consort with these. Saul sought out a witch because God wasn't talking to him. So what he do? He switched sides. Well, I'll go talk to one of the devil's people. If you know the story, he asked her to call up the spirit of Samuel. He was dead. And that's the only time I've read in the Bible that God allowed the spirit of a departed to come back. I've talked to people. I saw my great-grandpa one time. No, you didn't. Luke 16, Jesus said there's a gulf between hell and paradise, and the spirits couldn't pass from here to there, and I don't believe they can pass from there to here. Not if they're already there. I just don't believe that. But she saw Samuel, and Samuel said, why have you called me up? He said, well, God won't talk to me, and I want to know. And Samuel said, I told you what's going to happen. He said, in fact, you and your sons are going to die today. You're going to be with me where I am. What happened to this man of God? He went into a battle, was wounded, saw that he was going to be captured, and he committed suicide. Said he fell on his sword. The Philistines found his body. They chopped his head off and nailed him to a city wall. A man of God. A man who had prophesied under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A man, the Bible said, God had changed his heart. A man that God chose. I think when God chose Saul, I believe in his sovereignty, but I think God knew that Saul could go either way, and he hoped he was going to go the right way. I think Saul started out having the right heart. But somewhere in between that time and the time of his death, he changed. He got to thinking he knew what was best. He knew what needed to be done. God's not going to talk to me. I don't need God talking to me. I've got all this figured out. I got three short passages I'm going to close with. I'm sure you're familiar with every one of these. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Jesus said in Luke 14, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Churches, this can happen to anybody in this room, including me. God says, those who are of a contrite and humble spirit, I will listen to. But he said, if you exalt yourself, I'm going to put you down. Is it because he's mean? No. Saul became proud, presumptuous, and arrogant. And it cost him his kingdom, it cost the future of his family, and it costed him his life. He had chances. God gave him chances to turn around. Keep an eye on yourself. Keep an eye on yourself. Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Would you stand with me this morning? As I said at the beginning, I'm not passing any judgments on Saul. I save all that for the Lord. Someday I will stand before my Lord and I will give an account of my life, and I'm not going to be looking around to see what you did wrong. I'm not going to care. It's going to be all about me when I'm in front of him. I honestly pray as a minister, Lord, do not let me be deceived, because I don't want to deceive anyone. And I've heard some preaching that sounds good on the surface, but when you get into it, the teaching and preaching, it's not of the word. Saul was a man of God when he started out, and he lost it. He lost everything he had because of his arrogance.